Over a month, around 6% of the UK gather together to worship Jesus.
It feels like we're too few to make a difference.
But the reality is, Monday to Saturday, God has us, scattered in the world, connecting to hundreds and thousands of people.
So wherever you are,
whoever you are,
whatever you do,
you can make all the difference in the world.
And on Sundays, when we gather together,
we strengthen and empower one another to be sent out again
for life on our front lines.
Good morning. How are you all? You look fine this morning. God, we just present ourselves before you at the start of a new series. And we want you to speak to us. We want you to challenge us, awaken us, Lord. And we just say yes to you. Help us to hear what you are saying, to feel encouraged, inspired, and drawn closer to you, drawn closer to each other as we look at your word today. In Jesus' name. So as you might have guessed from this, we have started today, which we've mentioned in emails and things over the last few weeks, a series called Frontline Sundays. So it covers five Sundays, this week, next week, and the 28th of April, and then the 12th and the 19th of May. And the life groups are going to be tracking the season as well, the series. And ask the question, what does church mean to you? So you might think, well, I go to this church or that church. I go to a Catholic church or a Baptist church or a free church, or I go to a happy clappy church or a smokes and bells and whistles church, or there's churches that have a particular focus on different types of things. Or it might be that you think of different church buildings, you know, beautiful buildings. Notre Dame, I went there obviously before there was the fire, amazing building. Or St. Paul's Cathedral, or the Well. Hey. The reality is that none of those things really are what the church is. And we do talk about this, but sometimes I think we behave like they are the church. And the reality is, we are the church. We, the people in this room, Nora, you are part of God's church. And as we step into the reality of that, the reality that we don't go to church, we are the church. And that's something that's a very simple reality, but something that we're going to spend 5 weeks just digging into and really getting a hold of. Because if we really get a hold of its reality, I think it will totally change the way that we live our lives. So if you come to church once on a Sunday, then you are gathered with the rest of the church around 1% of your week. If you go to church and you're in a life group, then maybe that's 2%. If you go twice on a Sunday, I mean, you know, you hear the same thing twice, well, you know, and you're in a life group, then that's 3%. If you're like really full on, like gung-ho about it all, and you go twice on a Sunday and are involved in serving both morning and evening and go to a life group, then that's 5% of your week. And so on an average in the room, probably this morning, we spend around 97% of our time as the church not gathered with the church. Just there doing the stuff in our day-to-day. And Peter starts off his first epistle with these few verses that is something that's going to kick off this series. We're going to explore these few verses and think about what Peter's saying here to get our heads around what it means to be the scattered church. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the province of Asia, of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. I want us to reflect on a couple of things that he says here. He talks about the fact that you are living as foreigners where you are, and that God the Father chose you long ago and made you holy. Just think about that. We could look at it or describe it with different metaphors. Chosen, set apart, cleansed, made holy, living as foreigners. Elect, living as exiles. Maybe this isn't as accurate as a metaphor as you'd like, but you live with your head in the clouds, but your feet on the ground. Seated in heavenly places with a purpose in the world. Citizens of heaven, like Elizabeth was talking about. Citizens of heaven, residents of earth. Representatives of the kingdom of heaven, whoever we are, wherever we go, and whatever we do. Reality is, we are Christ's hands and his feet and his mouthpiece. Let's think about the fact that we're citizens of heaven. Stuff all the way through the Bible, and particularly places in the New Testament, and Jesus talking about, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and the stuff in Revelation that speaks about the glory of God's presence, the wonder of his majesty, and this, you know, this place where there's funny living creatures shouting out, holy, 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 and elders falling down. And even we can recall times when we as God's people have been gathered together in times of worship where we've experienced God's incredible presence. And the more we reflect on that, the more we can feel displaced and a bit weird, surrounded by mess and sin and death. We can reflect on our longing for our spiritual home, longing for the fullness of the kingdom. You know, Jesus came, we know, don't we? He came to introduce the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God came, and we experience shining light of the kingdom of God coming into our day-to-day. We have experience of that. But we're not living in the fullness of the kingdom of God. We're not living in the fullness of his rule and reign in the here and now. So we're that sort of stuck in the middle. Aware of what God can do, aware of what God's presence is like, aware of the fullness of who he is, but not actually living in that in our day-to-day and not seeing it around us all the time. Stuck in the middle, a longing for something more, a longing for our spiritual home whilst in the here and now. Psalm 137. This is a psalm that was written when God's people were living in exile. I'll just read verses 1 to 6. Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of the poplar trees, for our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on joyful hymns. Sing one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord in a pagan land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play the harp. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. I don't know if you've ever lived in a foreign country, or maybe you've moved from the north to the south, you know, and that's a bit of a weird one as well, you know, wondering why people aren't chatting to you in the supermarket queue and things. I remember when I lived in Canada, going to Bible college where I met Colleen, and I had this longing for Cadbury's chocolate. Now, this is, I don't know whether the Trade Descriptions Act exists. Trade Descriptions Act exists in Canada, I'm assuming it does. But you might see the word Cadbury on the front of a bar of dairy milk. It's a lie if you buy it in North America, because it's just not the same. And I had this longing, oh, please, Lord. And people would come over from England and bring Freddo bars, you know, just to keep us going. Or good cheese, cheddar cheese. I mean, it's like eating wax. Horrible, horrible stuff. Or lamb chops. I used to walk for like 2 hours to get to a place called Loblaws, which is this sort of equivalent to Waitrose, I suppose. And you could get like decent lamb chops and decent cheese. Longing for things that just weren't available there. Or even just the concept of walking to a place. Because here, you know, we live in Spain and we walk into town and we push the pram and we have a little walk and we go and put around town and then we walk home and it's very easy and very local. And there's nothing in North America at all that is created for anything but the car. You know, and just the idea of it, it feels foreign. It's like, this is ridiculous. I just want to walk to a shop. And I'm walking down the side of a highway with lorries belting past and slush being thrown all over me. You know, this is not... This feels foreign to me. Or trying to find, this might surprise you, but trying to find peanut butter in Monaco. You can't find it. Not even in Carrefour, you know, the big supermarket that exists all over the world. You will not find peanut butter. It's ridiculous. Or perhaps even for Daniela, you know, experiencing a day where it's not cold and wet. You know, say, I long for Colombia, Lord. Give me Colombia. We see those visions that John had of heaven and the glory of God's presence and that longing for where we are not. And that can, the more we reflect on that, the more we come to terms with and come face to face with the reality of who God is, the more our longing increases to be in his presence, to live in the fullness of what he has for us. That hunger and that more and more a reality that we are foreigners here and this is not our eternal home. As much as we can long for where we will be, this is where we are. This is where we are. And you know, in his presence, there's like fullness of creativity. He's the one who said light be and light was. You know, he's the one who created the seahorse and all the lobsters and other weird creatures. We had the kitchen filled with these funny flies last night, like flies I've never really seen before. Thousands of them, because I left the kitchen door open. And that thing, all these funny little creatures. Well, God made those. God is totally, absolutely creative. He's perfect. Perfect love and peace. The joy of God's presence, his fullness of life, a place of no pain, no suffering, no injustice, no fear, no shame, but glory upon glory upon glory. Just think of that. But we are called to where we are. And we're not just called to hang on where we are. We think of this place of creativity, of perfect love and peace, and the fullness of God's presence and joy and life and glory upon glory, a place with no pain and suffering, no injustice, no fear, no shame. Our calling is to where we are and is to bring a bit of that here, to pull in the kingdom, to bring down the fullness of who God is into the here and now and into where we are. Seeing God's fullness displayed where we are. The scattered church, that image that we had up on the little video of the, you know, the 94 grey dots and the six red ones, you know, those who follow Jesus, and the impact when we're scattered, the people whose lives we interact with and lives that we touch, and the impact that that can have is bringing a little bit of the kingdom of God where we are. And we can have that idea that somehow mission is about going to Uganda, or it's going to China, or, you know, it's going to Afghanistan or the Middle East, and it's doing all these weird and wonderful things, which that is mission, but so is where you are. So is what you do every day, every week, and every year. Bringing the kingdom of God to where we are. Now, that might look like people around you falling down and saying, "What must I do to be saved?" And that would be great if that happens, and that does happen, and let's pray that that will happen more and more. But it's also got to do with our ethics. It's got to do with our attitude, our ethos, the fact that we worship the God who's full of creativity. Imagine the ideas and the creativity that God can bring to your workplace or to your home or to your community, to your whatever it is, the social groupings that you are part of, the creativity and the life and the joy that the kingdom of God can bring where you are. Because there are people out there who have no other way of encountering Jesus in the fullness of who he is, no other way of encountering Jesus than through you. So who are we? And where do we go? So I'm just thinking about Glendale, and this is a very short list and doesn't go anywhere near being comprehensive. But thinking of the red dots, where do we have red dots? So we have farmers. Any lambs born this morning? No, not today. Teaching assistants, teachers, head teachers, car salesman, a card salesman extraordinaire. People at the school gate having conversations, people who cut hair, people who spend time in a doctor's waiting room, stay-at-home parents, people who work in Whitehall or the deli counter at Waitrose or in the army, sell commodities, who work in a counselling room, who clean toilets, who work as a carer, paid or unpaid, or have carers come to them. The question is, what do people experience when they spend time with you? What do people experience? Are we looking to God for his strength, for his life, for his kindness, his generosity, his purity to flow through us? Yes, There may be those times where people say, what must I do to be saved? Or as I think it's Peter puts it, always be ready when someone asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Let's be ready for that. But if people aren't asking the question, we'd be saying, God, would you be on display in me more and more? Would you give me your wisdom? Would you give me words to say that speak life? Words to say that bring solutions to problems? Give me wisdom that's way beyond my own. I remember a few years back, a long time ago, because I was in my mid-20s, and I'd been promoted and then promoted again, and then suddenly sort of asked to act up into a really senior role. I was two steps away from the chief executive in a local authority setting. I had 20-odd professionals all looking to me for leadership. I was working with the press. I was working with portfolio holders in the cabinet. And I was doing stuff constantly that was way, way, way beyond my experience. And, you know, managing people who were in their 50s and had worked in local government for 20, 30 years. You know, it just was ridiculous. And I can remember constantly saying, God, I desperately need your wisdom. I desperately need you to give me the answers when there's something in front of me and I just don't know the answer. God, I need you. I need you. And he wants to equip us to be who we are, to bring glory to him. He wants to equip us where God's placed you, the giftings God's placed in you, the place that God has you, that's for influence for his kingdom. That's so that he can show his grace and his beauty and his creativity and his compassion and his kindness and his forgiveness to shine his light and bring his hope through you. So what do people experience when they spend time with us? And let's just think for a couple of minutes before we come to pray about what our new identity is. So we talk about our positioning, talk about where we're citizens of heaven, citizens and seated in heavenly places with Christ and all that. Well, what does that mean for who we are? So the next chapter in 1 Peter, he goes on to really speak into that new identity. And just listen to this, it's amazing. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. I'm going to pause there, actually, because that's just amazing, getting our heads around that verse. So he's talking to those who are chosen. He's talking to those who are living as foreigners, those who are followers of Jesus, those who have come into salvation, those who are walking the new life. And he says, crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. There's always more. There's always more of his character, always more of his nature, always more of his goodness that we can be stepping into and experiencing. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I'm placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust in him recognize the honor that God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble and fall because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. For you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people. Now you are God's holy people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then if they accuse you of doing what is wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give glory to God when he judges the world. And there's one other thing I'd like us to look at quickly. So this is from Paul. And he was talking about a similar subject, and this is the bit that Elizabeth read. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do, do as representatives of the Lord Jesus. An ambassador in a country has the authority to speak on behalf of the government of the country they represent. And we have been called, we've been empowered, we've been commissioned, we've been authorized to speak on God's behalf. We've been authorized to set captives free, to speak truth, to shine God's light, to bring God's hope, to show God's love, to demonstrate God's creativity, and to release God's power where we are. Let's not be waiting for some magical day when suddenly we get to go on that mission trip. Let's recognize that this is for now, this is for here, and this is for me. God's kingdom is real. God's power is real. God's truth is real. And it is for you. And it is for where you are, and it is for now. Where we are. So God, as we think about that, we thank you that your desire for us is not to pop along to church on a Sunday morning and do the spiritual bit, and then walk out those doors and just live as if nothing has changed. God, you have called us to be your church, and that is something that is 24/7. And I pray, Lord, that you would be speaking to us, you would be awakening in us, Lord, a passion to live out your kingdom, to shine your light, to bring your hope, to speak your truth, to demonstrate your creativity, to release your power wherever we are and wherever we go. We think of all those places where we have interactions with people, where we have influence in the world. It might be the way that we manage a team. It might be the way that we stuff a shopping bag or clean a toilet. All of it, God, can be for your glory. All of it can be to honor you and to see your kingdom advance. And we're going to do a little practical exercise just to do a little bit of a move around the room before we go back into some worship. And I'm going to move this over slightly. So here we have a map. It's not all of West Berkshire, but it's a fair bit of West Berkshire. Some of you, because it only goes as far as Woolhampton, as just at the edge of Kintbury, only goes just north of Cheveley, just south of, like, towards Kingsclear. So it doesn't get everyone. But what we are going to do, I've already got my pin in the map. So you think about these red dots. We're going to look at us as individuals. As we go out from here, where are there red dots throughout the week? So everybody's got a little pin. And you can begin to come if you want. And we're going to use this map to stick in there. I've already got myself and there sitting in Broadway House. And come and shove your pin in the map where you are. Now, if you are off the map, so you, Ben, you'd be sort of sticking up there somewhere. Just shove yourself on the edge of the map in the direction where you are. Are we okay to do that? So let's just move around the room. Come, and I will give you a pin. Shove it in the map. And then at the end of that, we're going to pray over this map and pray over every person and the places that we go. So if you're not sure where to put it, you can put it where you live. You can put it where you work. You can put it where best represents where you feel God is leading you as your mission field, where God has you. So when I'm describing, you know, we can be honouring to God where we are, just shove a pin where that best represents. Does that make sense? Okay, let's go.